Hello and welcome to DNF1 with myself, Glenn Martin, and Derek O'Connor.
Well, maybe not. I've just got a bit of a throat today, so you'll just have to put up with this deep voice.
So, Derek, we're here back at Turkey, round 16. Last year's was a bit of a slippery track because they just relayed the tarmac and it rained, so it was a total ice rink. This year it's doing a wee bit better, isn't it, Derek?
It's giving a good grip, and the drivers are starting to get to grips with their car.
As the track rubbers in, we don't have any support races this weekend, but they are using the middle of the road compounds. We've got the C2, C3 and C4. This is actually a step softer than last year's, but in turn, hopefully between the tyre compounds and the track actually has been jet washed numerous times to try and get all the oil and stuff off the surface. So we should have actually a more representative race this year. Looking at the weather for this weekend, there's still a 40% chance of rain on the Saturday and the Sunday. Temperature-wise, we're sitting about 21, 22 degrees. So it is warmer than last year because it was November last year we rocked up here. Gusty winds this year. If we do see rain, I'm not too sure whether it'll spice things up a bit like the Russian Grand Prix.
We'll be fine. It's going to be a great race this weekend.
This is the second time this has reappeared on the calendar, last year and this year. Turkey, I think, is a great track. I don't know why we've not been here on a more regular basis. I'm hoping that as we expand the calendar, they're expanding the calendar, ideally they want it up to 25 races. Next year's been confirmed as 23 races. 7 to maybe 8 of those are definitely going to have sprint races along with next year's new car. So it's actually a lot to look forward to. But I'm hoping we come back to Turkey on that calendar.
It's all money, isn't it? It's all down to the money. The money that's generated from the race, it's all down to the sponsorship deals, and who's got the big enough pockets to splash the cash in Turkey to make sure that Formula One turns up.
That's exactly what Qatar did, and they've now got a race for 10 years. I mean, that came out of nowhere. There was no really any speculation at the start of the year that we were going to go there, but then when they were struggling for races, Qatar comes in and says, look, we want to pay the cash, we'll take the race for 10 years, you guarantee the contract. Formula One, cash is king, could not say no. Practice times for FP2. Hamilton and Faster, Charles Leclerc, Bottas, Sergio Perez, Verstappen, Norris, Alonso, Ocon, Gasly. And we've got Giovinazzi in there as the top 10. But all these guys for Pierre Gasly down the way, you were telling me, Derek, they've broke the lap record that was set previous.
Yeah, they have broken the lap record set by Juan Pablo Montoya. Hopefully, if they manage to do it in the race, we'll have a new lap record and it'll be one of the current drivers that holds it.
The one thing that does tell me, Derek, is that although these cars have obviously increased in speed, they've also increased in downforce, and I think it's taking away some of the challenges. Turn 8, the triple apex bend especially, when we used to watch it, and probably when Montoya obviously set the track record, because I think what happened is he set the track record and then we never came back. And last year, they were never going to break it because of the weather conditions and the track conditions. So we're back here, and the conditions are right for them to actually go faster. But it takes away some of the skill. I mean, I know the guys are getting to grips with this track. It's a green track, and they're obviously out there exploring the limits and so on and so forth. But it's taken away that drama. Turn 8, they used to go through there and have to feather the throttle, and they could get lap time if they got it just right, whereas now it's flat through. All they have to do is turn the wheel, get through there, no dramas. And I think it's taken away something that this track really did offer up before.
No, I think you'll find they are still having to lift through that corner just a little bit. They're not quite managing to go flat out. They are lifting according to the traces, you know, a little, just enough to,
I mean, once by the time we get to the race and it's rubbered in, unless there's rain, heavy rain, I think it'll be flat by the time we get to the race. And as the fuel drops off, it's losing its challenge. That's my personal gripe. Moving on. Yes. Other news. Yes. Obviously, we mentioned the calendar. As we come into this, with constructors, Mercedes 397. We've got Red Bull and 364. There's a 33-point gap between them there. We'll see how that obviously goes this weekend. And then we've got McLaren and Ferrari. 234 place, 216, a 28-point gap. Now, the thing about Ferrari and McLaren, normally where they're scoring their points, a 28-point gap between the two teams could potentially take a few races to obviously seesaw back and forth. They're not taking home 25 points every time, but they have done obviously some of the races, I get that. And that 28 points gap looks far more formidable for Ferrari to try and catch up than does the Red Bull difference of 33 points, because we're expecting Red Bulls and Mercs to finish, the points are obviously a lot higher. But How do you look at the constructors, Derek, going forward? Do we think that's how it's going to finish?
I believe that the sort of races that we've got left, it's sort of 50-50 between the two of them. Red Bull have targeted that number one garage for next year. They're not going to get my support for anything other than going backwards, as per normal.
Derek's picking on Red Bull, the paint scheme now. Oh, Derek. Oh. Just say you hate them. Just say you hate them. You don't have to be
No, I don't hate Red Bull. I think they need to grow up a little bit. And I still think they're boy in short trousers trying to play with the big boys. And I know they've had all the success and they've done all that, but they just haven't got the pedigree behind them. And that's just me being a whingy.
Derek, some would argue that Merck don't have the pedigree behind them either, because, let's be honest, they bought what was the old Honda team for Braun and stuff, and they've kind of came back with a bit of cash, splashed the cash, and got to the front purely on monetary spend, as we have seen with other teams in the past. I'm playing devil's advocate here, Derek.
You know what I'm going to say? Red Bull weren't racing in 1908 when Merck won their first world championship. You know, I mean, come on. You know, I mean, all right, maybe a little bit facetious.
It's a fair point. I agree with you, but I think with the modern era, it's not so much about pedigree. It has been about spend. The past 20 years has been about who can spend the most and out develop the car, outspend them on how the loopholes, etc.
Let's go back to the old analogy. Merck make Mercedes-Benz cars.
Hey.
Red Bull make energy drinks. Cars, energy drink. Some of the things are very similar, but the fundamental is one makes a car that goes forward, one makes a drink that goes down. That's it.
Derek, cynical. Cynical.
Yes, look, very cynical, I know.
The remaining races, we've got obviously Turkey here. Going by obviously... FP2 times and stuff, and even last year's performance, we have to say that this should be a 50-50 track, but Merck, since they've came back after the break, although Spa wasn't as stellar and that was washed out, but Merck seem to have gotten maybe on top of Red Bull a bit, and I'm not entirely sure whether it's still on a knife edge between the two or whether Merck have got a bit of an edge performance-wise. Looking at the other tracks, we've got the USA next. Would you say that's a Merck track, Red Bull, or 50-50?
50-50. I think they're all, sadly, I think the last few races are all...
Mexico as well.
Mexico's more Red Bull. Definitely more Red Bull's cup of tea.
Yep. Brazil?
Brazil, I think Merck can manage that, I think.
Qatar? We're not...
Oh, no.
Qatar's a kind of... How to describe it as a track? It feels a bit like Spain and it's set up again, and it's a bit like Jerez, and I don't think it's got to offer much, but we said the same thing about Russia. Saudi Arabia, Jeddah, that is going to be the fastest track on the calendar.
Yes.
It's got to go to Merck, that one. It's got to be in their favour. Yeah. And then once we get to Abu Dhabi, all bets are off, I think, for the last race of the season. Derek,
if it hasn't been decided before Abu Dhabi, we'll pack up and go home, because that race will be as boring as it was last year.
Derek, they have updated that track. That track has got 3 updates on it, and I'm hoping that it will actually... trust me on this. With the updates they've put in place, it should be a better race. And we see these things and we're normally wrong. But,
you know, trust me, I'm a used car salesman. Yes, okay, fair enough.
Slap it. It's got 1,000 llama power that car has. Derek, we've got to talk about the main protagonist this weekend. Max had obviously taken a penalty in Russia for engine and other sundries. He had, 43 place grid penalty, which we'll come back and speak about the penalty system at the end of this. But Hamilton's taken a new internal combustion engine. At the moment, so he's got a 10-place grid penalty for that. Normally, when they take a 10-place grid penalty, they wind up, by the time they get to the race, they've taken other stuff, and they're at the back of the grid, right? Depending on qualifying. Sainz, he's taken an engine plus all the rest of the stuff, so he's starting 120th on the grid. But this was what gets me, is these guys... So Max Verstappen absorbed his 3-place grid penalty for causing the accident at Imola. He absorbed that, started at the back of the grid, got a great result finishing second. But should the penalty system for taking new engines be not just a 10-place grid penalty? Should it be something like, if you want to take a new engine, it will cost you 15 championship points? Should that be more what they're aiming for? Because as it stands at the moment, the penalty system's a bit of a joke. The whole point of this was, three engines are meant to last the season, so the team's only spending out with their budget.
I have a solution that I'm going to give to you, and it's one of my Derek wacky ideas.
Oh, here we go.
Right?
Yep.
If you say you take a full engine reboot, that's like 40 place.
Yep.
Right? Now, if you start on pole and you set off, there is a time delay to the back of the grid. So that is a definite, there is a definite time there.
Yeah.
Right? Now, you can work that back, but that would then really make them think about when they take their engines.
I don't know,
Derek. How they take their engines. What would, if on the first lap, there can be all sort of go wrong on that first corner. Second, they pull out, they're right onto the back if there's a crash, right? If there's an accident on turn one, turn two, whatever, they're right onto it. They've caught up, okay? But if not, they have to then drive the 30 seconds to catch up or whatever, you know, the 5 seconds to catch up, get on the back and then work the way through the field. Derek, it would give, especially if there's more than one doing it.
No, because you know what the problem lies with that, Derek, is these cars, especially the teams that we're mainly talking about, the Max Verstappen's and Lewis Hamilton's, these teams, they could send Max out and Max could make up 30 seconds in clean air on the back of the grid, probably within a few laps, and it wouldn't be a proper penalty, you know? I understand what you're saying, but still these teams would be able to incorporate it. Let's take something tangible away from them. Let's say you will lose. And I mean, at the end of the day, if they want to keep the drivers happy and stuff, then maybe they'll have to take it off the constructors because it's that sort of side.
Even if you qualify on pole, then you still stay on pole. So that means you'll get your 25 if you stay all the way around in first.
Yeah. These penalties are stealing the races from us. So this time round, we've got Hamilton. If it's a 10-place grid penalty, he's going to have to start in 11th if he gets pole. And again, it was the same in Russia. We missed the championship battle between Max and Lewis, who would have qualified within a much closer area. Yes. We're not seeing that. So take penalty points off of the drivers. Take it off of the championship for the constructors. One or the other. But at the end of the day, these guys taking these huge penalties are, it's a mockery of the system. Once they go past, we've taken two components. It completely defeats the purpose.
I can see a Dear Ross letter coming on here. Dear Ross, sort this out, you know, that sort of thing, you know.
Well, they need to, because it's stealing races from us. Our two guys that are fighting for the world championship are at opposite ends of the grid. And we're missing out on the whole point. We're actually watching it. Okay, we've got a great race in Sochi. The Russian Grand Prix was one of the best we've seen in the past couple of years. But we want to see the guys at the top of the table find it out. Even if they've got penalties, just take penalty points off them. An engine will cost you 10 world championship points. And then we'll start to see real changes on how they actually apply them. Aston Martin may have to take penalties or have planned maybe to take penalties for engines as well at this track.
I think they'll decide after FP3 tomorrow.
Yeah. This is just another example of it, Derek. You know, that it's carte blanche. They're just like, you know what? Yeah, we'll just take penalties. It's fine. I mean, I think the thing with Lewis only taking a 10-place grid penalty is he's fighting for the world championship. And from 11th, hopefully, damage limitation, if he can get forward, if Max runs away at the front, he can get to second and minimise the difference between the two. I mean, there's only 2 points between them.
Come on. I mean, you've got to know that Merck have got a plan. You know, they've got a plan, and they're going to use Bottas to stop any advances from the rest.
Bottas, can you hold Max? Oh, it's too late. Oh, he's passed.
He's passed me.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get the message clear enough. Can you say it again?
Bottas having an off weekend, and when it comes to stuff like that, he's not even a roadblock, Derek. He's just, they're past him. They've forgotten about him.
Do you know something? They'd be better saying to him, look, Bottas, don't hold Verstappen up. You've no chance of holding him up. So just let him pass. save your engine, save your drive. Just keep going at your own pace, you know. And will you get us 2 pints of milk when you pass that milk float, if you can?
The thing is, Derek, they made him, I'm pretty sure they made him take an extra engine penalty so he would be in a position. And Max breezed past him, Leclerc breezed past him, and then he languished in 14th for the entire race until the rain came and he lucked into a fifth place finish on it. Talking of Bottas, Bottas obviously is off to Alfa Romeo. Alfa Romeo still haven't, I think this is the only seat that's undecided on the grid, whether Giovinazzi is going to be in there, probably not. Otherwise, they would have probably announced it already, let's be honest. But they have not announced who his teammate is going to be for next year. So watch this space. When we find it, we'll pass it on. Not that it's overly exciting news, to be honest. It's Alfa Romeo. Unless they come out with a stonking car next year, they're going to be in the same sort of position. Hopefully, the 2022 car, the new cars, 1 second covers the entire grid, and that 1 second is based on driver skill. That's all we want to see. Close racing, competitive racing, we will wait and see. But we'll let you know. And hopefully, fingers crossed, a good qualifying, Derek. I'm looking forward to this weekend. After the last one, Norris has got to make amends. He's got to get in there and actually get his first victory. He has to get a first victory this season. You can't have Ricciardo doing it. But join us after the qualifying and we will hopefully have some good news on the Lando Norris front. There's nothing else really to say except it's goodbye for me.
And it's goodbye from him. Stay safe, take care, and we'll see you again tomorrow.
This has been a BetaCat production for DNF1.